Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I came of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, oh God.
Letting Hello, and welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Excuse me. Have a frog in my throat. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And today is February the 6th at 7 p.m., and if you're not listening at that date and time, then you're probably listening to a rebroadcast or a podcast. Our show is now available on iTunes and on Stitcher, if you'd like to pick it up there. If you get the feeling that you are the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and I'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. But in the meantime, let me introduce our usual co-host, Ty. Are you on there?
I'm here, it's the one man!
Well, I'm hearing you a little bit, but not very much, so let me see if I got some...
It's the Wonder!
Yeah, it's probably...
How loud should I be?
Yeah, I probably just didn't have you turned up in my headphones, but you're coming through loud and clear. There you go. That's better. Okay, and welcome to the show, Wombat.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yep. Also, in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing some of them right here on this program and generally on the station as they are in rotation. Let's see. Tonight's topic, we're going to kick off here in just a little bit. It's going to be Sunday Assembly. If you're not familiar with Sunday Assembly, it's kind of like a church, but it's a no-God church. It's they get together and celebrate life and community and friends, camaraderie, and we don't need no religion for that. And we're going to have a special guest on the show tonight. Adrian will be joining us here just in a little bit. Sunday Assembly was originally started by Sanderson Jones and Pippa Evans, two comedians who were on their way to a gig in Bath, England, when they discovered that they both wanted to do something that was like church, but totally secular and inclusive of all, no matter what they believed. The first ever Sunday Assembly meeting took place in January 6, 2013, so it's been like 6 years, at the Nave in Islington. I love English names. I mean, there Bath and Islington. Almost 200 people turned up for their first meeting and 300 at the second.
Wow.
And soon people all over the world began asking how to start one. Now, as of this printing, there are over 70 Sunday Assembly chapters in 8 different countries where people sing songs, hear inspirational talks, create community together. Why do they exist? Because life is short, it is brilliant, and it is sometimes tough. Hello, this is WOZO Radio. May we have a name and a nickname if you want to use it.
Hi, Larry, it's Adrian.
Hi, Adrian. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are a special guest tonight, and we're talking about Sunday Assembly. I believe you started one here right here in this community, didn't you?
In September of 2014.
Wow. That's been, what, like 5 years now? September, yeah. Well, 4.5 anyway.
4.5.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I've been asked many times by people that I tell about Sunday Assembly, and I mention it every week on this show. What do you guys do there? I mean, if it's a church without God and there's no religion, what do you do? I mean, is it like bingo? If you talk to some believers, you know, without the God stuff, why get together? And I never thought that was a good thing to just say. There's no other reason to get together unless you have God in there, which is kind of dumb. As Dan Barker would say, he says, why throw out the baby with the dishwater or bathwater? Yeah. Says, there's a lot of good things about church that we need to keep, but we don't need the superstition and the guilt and the all the other things that go with religious belief. So
a lot of people grew up in religious communities like I did.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of good that comes from that. Like, if you don't go to church, especially in the South, who do you hang out with? Who do you know? Well, let's think about it. Maybe the people you went to college with, mm-hmm. or grew up with, if you still live in your hometown, or people you go to work with every day, but other than that, that's it. So it's just a really good opportunity for people to get to know other people in the area. We're radically inclusive, so you're welcome to come no matter what you believe. Not everyone is an atheist. Some people are agnostic. Mm-hmm. Some people are, we even have some Christians that come, and that's fine. We're not going to tell them that they're wrong for what they believe. We're not anti-religion. We're just absent of religion because we're humanists and we want to promote what we do believe, not belittle other people that we might disagree with. It promotes more of like a scientific worldview.
Yeah.
But in a kind-hearted way. Does that make sense?
Sure. Ty, do you have any questions for Andrea?
Yeah, I'm about to go to my first Sunday assembly starting on Sunday.
Andrea, you can't hear him, can you?
I cannot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll have to...
you can just tell I'm going to my first Sunday assembly in Nashville.
Okay.
And what should I expect? What do people expect when I go to Sunday
sure.
assembly?
He's saying he's going to go to his first Sunday assembly in Nashville this weekend, and he's wondering what he can expect.
Well, unfortunately, there's really no excuse for this, but I have not been to one of theirs yet. I have been to Sunday Assembly Atlanta, though, that I figured it was a wise thing to do to go to one before I wanted to start one, see what it was all about. But I know a lot of people there, and they're just wonderful, kind, open-minded people, and they have an awesome band.
Oh, do they?
They're called the Unnamed Sunday Assembly Band.
They're called the Unnamed?
The Unnamed Sunday Assembly Band.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Is there rock and roll?
Of all that musical talent. Mm-hmm. So,
Or is it more country because it's Nashville?
Yep. So, I would expect a good time.
Okay. So you can be enlightened as far as you can have people come in and get... Excuse me. I've got a... getting over a cold, I guess. To come in and give talks, presentations. You have music like a band that you were talking about. You get to meet people in your neighborhood. That's one of the greatest things to me about the assemblies that we have in Knoxville. Sunday Assembly is one of them, but there are several others. But in this day and time where, you know, after the invention of air conditioning, everybody just stays indoors. And you can live in your entire 10 or 15 years in a subdivision or a neighborhood without knowing your next-door neighbors. But this is an excuse to get out, get together, get to know everybody, form a community, and just make friends.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. And a lot of people that come just talk about how refreshing it is to be of around people that share a similar worldview, because a lot of people that aren't Christians, especially in the South, you know, the buckle of the Bible Belt,
right,
are kind of maybe not ashamed or embarrassed, but just afraid of being shunned. Like, oh, you know, if I had a nickel for every time people ask me, why do you hate God? I'm like,
yeah.
I don't hate God.
Right.
I just don't
believe it.
He's real in the traditional sense.
Right.
I mean, I consider myself personally agnostic because I don't know if there's a God.
Right.
And neither do you. Neither does
yeah.
anybody. But mm-hmm. I can't prove that he's not real.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would say this sounds an awful lot like the Unitarian Universalist Church. Can you tell me why that would be different? How much difference is there in between them?
Probably the biggest difference is that the Unitarian Universalist Church, I believe, does have Protestant roots, and they have a big umbrella, and they encompass a lot of different beliefs, and that includes some supernatural beliefs, like Wiccan, I guess, would be one example. And we don't really promote supernatural anything. It's purely uh-huh. based in science and the scientific method, and we believe in the Big Bang Theory and evolution, and not
right.
trees have spirits. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Things like that.
Sure. But you could have speakers that come in and talk about evolution, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that is what we do believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in lieu of a sermon, we will have a speaker come. And if we can't find a good speaker that month, we'll show a TED Talk. But it's always something educational or informative. And our goal is for people to leave knowing something that they didn't know when they walked in the door that
mm-hmm.
will help enrich their lives in some way.
And to have enjoyed themselves and their neighbors while they were there. So
yep.
it's more than one thing that they come there for. Now, some people might be surprised to find out that y'all pass the plate as well in these assemblies, do you not?
We do pass the plate, that's
mm-hmm.
correct. We don't charge membership dues, so passing the plate is really the only way that we raise money.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a PayPal link on our website, but we're a nonprofit, and we try to put as much money out into the community as we take in, and our motto is live better, help often, wonder more. So one of the ways that we do help often is to help out like other nonprofit organizations that have a speaker come that month. They will be the beneficiary of our Pass the Plate donations, like
right.
Spiritually Farm or Keep the Tennessee River Beautiful or Step Ahead mm-hmm. or Remote Area Medical. But then also we help people, our members, like if they're going through a divorce or moving or just you have a death in the family, just a traumatic event that's causing them to struggle financially, we'll help them out as well. So,
oh.
yes, we do pass the plate.
That's great. Ty, back to you. Any other questions that I can relay for you?
I didn't know they were passing the plate. I was wondering, do they have different kinds of songs that they sing, or
yeah.
like a hymnal?
He's asking about what kind of songs they might want to sing, and do you have a hymnal?
Oh, yeah, we do not have a hymnal, so it's mostly pop songs, just fun, upbeat songs,
cool.
Definitely nothing too
uh-huh.
rigid. We try to
yeah.
keep it lighthearted. I mean, we do have serious topics sometimes,
yeah.
like we even talked about death one time.
Right.
It's not
well,
all
yeah,
goofy
most,
and joking around,
right.
but
most of your assemblies have a theme, don't they? I mean, it may change from meeting to meeting. I remember back the first year that you were doing this, I attended the first year, and I supplied some of the music, playing the guitar and singing, and every time we got together, there was a theme. Like there was a song, there was a theme about laughter one time, and another about
mm-hmm.
Life itself. And coping, you know, that type of thing. You're still doing that type of thing, are you?
Yes, we definitely do have a theme every month, and so the speaker will fit that theme and the songs as well. And then we also have a children's program, and we have a Montessori teacher that writes all the programs, and so the kids will split off after we sing the first song, and they'll learn their lesson in a more child-friendly way, and then have a snack as well. But yeah, we definitely have a different theme every month.
Cool. Could you explain by what you mean by
February is turning your passion into activism? So yeah, we're really excited about that one.
Can you explain what you mean by Montessori for those who may not know?
That would be Alita Ledendecker. Uh-huh. Montessori.
She ran a school, a Montessori school for years, I understand.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different type of learning. I think it's a little bit less structured, mm-hmm. and it allows the children to excel in what they're good at, I would say.
And question more? And question more? Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me?
Yeah.
For me?
Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, like, are there different kinds of religions that go to Sunday Assembly?
Ty is asking a question. You can't hear him, but I'll relay it in a second. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Is it like United Universalists, where you have different religions going at the same time?
He was asking about the Universalists, like I did. You have different religions that are all welcome. Have you had any trouble with different religions coming in and maybe trying to express their own views forcefully or in a dogmatic way?
Not really. I mean, we have a few people come that might have a more spiritual view of the world, but I think that they know that that's not what we're there for.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they don't.
Can you?
We haven't really had any issues with that.
Well, good. In 4.5 years, that's pretty good if you can say that. Take an example of last meeting, the one that you had at the end of the last month. You only meet once a month here in Knoxville, I understand, and it's the last Sunday of the month.
Mm-hmm. We meet the fourth Sunday of every month, and don't get it confused with the last Sunday, because some months have five Sundays. It's
true.
Always the fourth Sunday,
uh-huh.
And we meet at the concourse, which is formerly the International, which was formerly the Valerium. And our doors open at 10:30, and we get started at 10:45. And then afterwards, it goes till about noon, give or take. And then afterwards, we have a potluck. So everybody brings a dish to share, and we supply the drinks. And we usually hang out till about 1:30, and then everybody gets on with their lives. But we have other activities throughout the month as well, mm-hmm. but just the main assembly is the fourth Sunday of every month.
Yeah. What was your theme this last Sunday, the last meetup?
The last meetup was joy. And we showed some snippets of TED Talks, and then everybody had an opportunity to share examples of things that bring them joy and the different types of joy. So we've been wanting to do that one for a long time, so we finally did.
Okay, well, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you'd like to put out yourself that hasn't been covered by a question?
I guess really the only thing that I can think of is some of the other events that we have throughout the month. We have Wonder Club and then Artsy Fartsy. We alternate every month on the second Sunday, and we meet at the Bird House, which is that community center over on 4th and Gill.
Mm-hmm.
And Wonder Club is like a philosophical discussion group with a different topic every time, and then Artsy Fartsy is everybody comes together and we'll work on a craft project, and that's much more kid-friendly.
Yeah.
Wonder Club's a little cerebral.
Yeah.
But we do other things, too, that are a little bit more random. We'll go rock climbing or hiking or go to the movies or go roller skating. Just things like that. Whatever anybody thinks is fun that other people might like, they're free to share it on our Facebook page. We've got a a public page, but then also a closed group where we have more discussions back and forth. And then we're also on Meetup as well.
Okay. Would you like to go ahead and give those links out? What would we actually look for?
I mean, if you get on Facebook or Meetup and just search for Sunday Assembly Knoxville, you should be able to pull it up that way.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds real good. Ty, any other questions?
No. I got one more. Do you think it would be, is there a good avenue to use some epistemology at a church, like at a Sunday Assembly setting?
I'm not understanding. You're talking about street epistemology. You're asking if Sunday Assembly would be a good venue for that? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you familiar, Adrian, are you familiar with street epistemology?
Yes, I am. Actually, I went to a conference. It was NanoCon in Nashville last year.
Uh-huh.
And they had a workshop on it.
So okay.
I'm familiar with the concept.
Yeah, you know that Ty does that quite a bit, and he has a channel on YouTube dedicated to it. It's called Let's Chat. He was wondering if the Sunday Assembly itself might be a good venue to hold chats like that.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Or if he wanted to be a speaker at one of our assemblies, and that could be the theme, and he could tell people what it's all about, if you'd be willing to do that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I want to.
He says, oh, yeah, I want to.
So he can hear me. I just can't hear him.
Right, yeah. He has. I'm talking to him on the phone, and the phone's microphone is picking up the speakerphone that you're on. So, but you can't hear him because it's going through the soundboard.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, he's currently in West Tennessee, and he lives and works there. I don't know how often he would be up here, but whenever he can get up here. And it's toward the end of the month. You're saying, tell him to come on down. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. We'd love to have him.
Okay. From the website, I looked up Sunday Assembly. There was a blurb here I'd like to read. It says, the only way to understand Sunday Assembly is to experience it for yourself. There will be sing-alongs, moving stories, passionate speakers, all finished with tea and cake or coffee and donuts or whatever. Just being with us, you should be energized, vitalized, restored, repaired, refreshed, and recharged. No matter what the subject of the assembly, it will solace worries, provoke kindness, inject a touch of transcendence into every day. But life can be tough. It is. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and we have moments of weakness, or life just isn't fair. We want the Sunday Assembly to be a place of compassion, where no matter what your situation, you are welcome, accepted, and loved. You can join a choir, sing in the band, attend and facilitate self-help groups, and welcome those who are socially isolated, host potluck dinners, share hobbies, and much more. Most of all, have fun, be nice, and join in. Our vision is to help everyone live life as fully as possible. And having been to Sunday Assembly for like a year, I certainly agree with it. I think it's a great assembly, a good place for camaraderie and community and getting to know your neighbors. And I'm really proud of you for starting it. Good job.
Aw, thank you, Larry. I'm proud of you for starting and sticking with that for so long, too.
Thank you. It has been a labor of love, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know how that can be. But it's so important and so rewarding and so needed in this area. So I think that's why we do it.
Yeah, for sure. For those listening, that we also have Rationalists of East Tennessee, and we have the Freedom from Religion Foundation, all right here in Knoxville, along with the Sunday Assembly and the Atheist Society of Knoxville. So there's no reason why you shouldn't get involved. And if you'd like to, you can even be involved on the radio or the TV show that we host every week. So reach out, find a group, look up Knoxville Atheists, and just Google it, and it'll take you to a website where you can find all the other groups that are there. Okay, anything else you'd like to go into that we might have missed, Adrian?
No, I think we covered all the bases.
Okay. Ty, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us for the show. It was a very informative half hour. We've still got another half hour of the show to do. If you'd like to stay and converse with us, you're more than welcome. But we're going to have to go to a break here in a little bit, and then we'll have some more announcements and come back after the break.
But, okay. Well, I need to go cook dinner.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Sure. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Take care, Adrian.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ty.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
And you should have all the information now to find the Sunday Assembly or any of the other atheist groups that are here in Knoxville, free-thinking groups. Even if you don't consider yourself an atheist, you may consider yourself an agnostic or a free thinker. Just do a Google for Knoxville Atheists, and you'll be able to find many links for the different groups here in Knoxville. Anything to add before we go to break? Ty?
Nope. Let's go have a great break.
Okay. Yeah. And for those who didn't know, you know, she said that she was going to be meeting, having a meeting here in the birdhouse. We're broadcasting from the birdhouse. This is where we're sitting right now. So get to know where the birdhouse is. You might be able to get into some of your own thing here. It's a community center, and it's welcome to all. Okay, let me try to find something here real quick to play. Let's see. I'm going
to
call.
I have a song. I wish I could send it to you sooner, but
what?
Dang it. I have a good song for next show.
Oh.
The next show we do.
Okay. Anything that you'd like to recommend this time?
Let's do the Butter Jesus.
A big Butter Jesus.
Butter Jesus. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. See if I can find it. Can't find it. But I can. I do have it. Hate this song. If you go to digitalfreethought.com, click on the blog, you'll be able to click on a link that says Atheist Songs, and then you'll be able to find Big Butter Jesus and a lot of other ones too. And here we go. We'll be back in about 5. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and see you in about 5.
In southern Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, I beheld a vision next to the expressway. Was a 60-foot Jesus with his hands in the air. Looked like he's carved out of butter, just like at the state fair. Big Butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promised Jesus, imperial Jesus, can't believe it's not Jesus. Holy, oh Lord. Well, you see him from the chest up, like he's about to do a backflip, like he scored a touchdown, or maybe melting or about to drown. Well, I've been to the state fair, seen a cow made out of corn cobs, Garth Brooks out of string cheese, and the Virgin out of olives. Big Butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, old country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promised Jesus, imperial Jesus, can't believe it's not Jesus. Holy, oh Lord. Shipped in pieces on a flatbed, staring backwards was his big head. Driver stuck in traffic backups, desperately avoiding eye contact. Well, don't make no graven images, that's one of the Ten Commandments. I hope the grading curve is kindly, you get to heaven with a 90. Big Butter Jesus, sweet cream Jesus, oh,
country fresh Jesus, unsalted Jesus, old promise Jesus, imperial Jesus. Can't believe it's not Jesus, holy old Lord. Can't believe it's not Jesus. Oh, spread the word.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And welcome back to the show. This is Doubter 5, Larry Rhodes. This is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's talk about some of the free thought groups that we mentioned in the last half hour and how you can join them right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 16th year, 17th now, I guess. ASK now has over 900 members, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or you can go directly to meetup.com and search for Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. Also, you can join ASK in person by coming to our weekly meetup. Happens every Tuesday down at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Knoxville Old City. We're usually there between like 5:30 and 7:30. We get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody is welcome. That is, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. But you'll be welcome. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. If you don't find one, start one. Another large atheist group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've actually been around longer than ASK. They've been like 22 years or something more than that. RET, Rationalists of East Tennessee, has biweekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays in the Goins Administration Building. If that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. There's the Sunday Assembly, which we spent the last half hour talking about. It started in England just a few years ago, and now it's spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe, but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. Look for Sunday Assembly, Knoxville. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement, or would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. Not the radio show that you're listening to.
We have a call-in TV show.
We have a TV show.
You never told me about this.
I mentioned it once or twice over the last, eight years.
Yeah, maybe the first time like in 8 years, but yeah, you need to keep me.
Right. Yeah,
you need
I should probably mention it more often, right? It's actually just went off the air at 7:30. It goes every Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find an archive of their shows on YouTube, where a fan had been posting them. Go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with either the TV or the radio show, you can come to an ASK meetup or a RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. And if you'd like to join the conversation that we're having right now, write this number down, 865-333-5937. In Knoxville, it's 333-5937. Phone lines are open, and we're ready to move on to our second topic of the night. Ty,
hey.
You were mentioning one about street epistemology, I believe, didn't you?
Yeah, and here's a weird thing. I had, so what is Street to Small D? Hey, I found that it's just a really good way to have conversations with people about things that they deeply believe in a way that doesn't turn the conversations to an argument or a debate and keeps both sides open and productive towards trying to find good reasons to believe the things that they believe. And I found that it's incredibly good to talk to, it's a good method that I use to talk to people who have strong religious beliefs. I don't have any strong beliefs.
Rather than just confrontational?
Well, I mean, they have their place too, but it's good to have the option to not have to do that. Particularly if you're like more mellow, if you have a more positive vibe, or if you don't like being in a confrontational position all the time.
Right.
So I found that people who try to use street epistemology, or people who may not even be aware of it, the cool thing about it is the way how you ask a question is incredibly important. Because what you're trying to do with street epistemology is keep the conversation open and allow the person to, without judgment being applied, think about what their beliefs are without closing them up by, you know, saying things that sort of shut them down in the conversation. An example that I had was that a theist asked me, for example, hey, what would it take for you to believe in a God? And I said, oh, I don't know, just like some reasonable evidence would be good. Like, you give me some reasonable evidence, I got it, I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, well, this is pretty reasonable, I'm going to have to believe, you know, what the conclusion is, because this is really good, reasonable evidence that you supported, so I guess now I believe in a God. Like, that was all I would need, just give me some reasonable evidence, and I believe, no problem.
Uh-huh.
And what they told me after that was, that doesn't answer my question!
Oh, he wants specifics, I guess. What in particular?
So I was kind of in a weird situation. I was like, well, you asked me a question, and I responded, like, to it. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, let me rephrase. And so he says, I asked you, what would it take you to believe in a God? And I said again, well, some reasonable evidence would be nice. And he said again, that didn't answer my question. And I'm like, kind of good. So we were kind of in a stuck hole.
Uh-huh.
And what I was saying was, that doesn't answer my question isn't really a great way to extend a conversation. It kind of just says, hey, I had a flow chart of what I expected your answers to be, and what you said wasn't on the flow chart, so I'm shutting down. More or less, or like, hey, you didn't say the thing that I was expecting you to say, or
right.
I'm not willing to critically think alongside you on this.
If you go on YouTube and look up, some Christian apologetics when they're working a crowd, they have a definite script that they want you to say certain things. And if you don't say them, you know, the conversation goes nowhere. And if you do say them, it goes right down the path that they want you to go down. And, you know, the thing about it is usually they are on campus and they're talking to young people who haven't spent, more than a few minutes thinking about these things. And they've had most of their life being drilled into them, the religious beliefs that they were raised in. So it ends up usually going the way they want it to. But they come across an atheist, it gets derailed pretty quick.
And the trick that they use is basically ask questions to the point where the atheist or someone who's on the fence adopts a burden of proof, and then chastise them for not being able to support their burden of proof. So if someone says, you're an atheist? Yeah. So you don't believe in a God, right? Like, they're already trying to make you take on a position that you can't necessarily demonstrate with evidence, because what they're hoping to do is, after they push the burden of proof on you and you don't have any reasonable recourse for it, they will assume that they're right by default.
Right.
So if they are able to show that you can't prove that a God doesn't exist, then somehow that means that they're right by default. But that's never the case. And that's not a good reason for believing anything.
No.
So when you run into situations where people are like, hey, the thing you said didn't answer my question, tends to be the case that they had an idea of what you should have said, and you didn't say the thing, and they didn't really have like a backup line or script to support themselves with. Yeah.
Well, they're so, wanting to turn their position around and force you into it, because they don't have any evidence to show for their beliefs, and they're trying to get you into a corner where you say that what your beliefs are, but you don't have any evidence for me, which is. We believe in science, and science has many, evidence.
I have a giant supernatural imaginary friend that I think exists, but instead of me proving it, I'll just make you
try to prove that it doesn't exist.
Right.
And put all the burden of trying to prove something doesn't exist on you.
Yeah.
And when you realize you have nothing substantive to bring to the conversation, I'm right by default because you obviously could not present.
Yeah, I've got a, meme. I got a meme for that. You might be surprised to know that I have a meme for that.
No, I'm not
surprised. It's up to me to prove that that God doesn't exist. I say, well, I have. I said, what do you mean? I've got it all written out at home, and it's flawless. There's no mistakes in it. And you would totally agree that it's correct. Well, show it to me. No, you got to prove I don't have it.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we were thinking of, like, so I was workshopping this a little bit. Like, what are some really good casual things that you could say? So here's the thing. Let me back up. People tend to say, that doesn't answer my question. Whether they genuinely are trying to extend the conversation or not, they tend to say that in hopes that they can extend the conversation, despite the fact that they don't realize that shuts down the conversation. And I've been told that by atheists as well. Like, I've had atheists ask me, like, so why don't you go, Gnostic atheists, by the way, but they'll ask me, why don't I believe in God? And I say, well, I need reasonable evidence. They say, well, that doesn't really answer my question. I mean, why don't you believe in a God? I'm like, because I don't have reasonable evidence to support that claim. If I had it, I'd believe it.
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't answer my question. How can
it does. Like, all you got to do is just, you know, so they're making a claim. They're making a claim that you didn't answer the question. All you got to do is counterclaim. Right. Yes, I did. I mean, that which is put forward without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. That's Hitchens.
It's the exact same thing you get if you said, I don't mean. Because a lot of scripts aren't prepared for the honest, you know, intellectually honest answer of, I don't know. Right. Like, hey, do you know if a God exists? No, I don't know. Oh, well, you mean that it doesn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't know. Like, I've had conversations before with people at the Ark Museum last year where preachers will sit in front of me and they say, well, you don't believe in a God. Right? I was like, no, that's not my position. My position is, I don't know if a God exists, and I don't believe because I don't know. But yeah, but you really don't think he actually exists, right? Like, no. My position is, I don't know. Like, they keep trying to saddle me up. Uh-huh. I mean, even when I affirm that I didn't know, they say, well, I'm glad you said that because what I was going to say was blah, 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 but it sounds like that doesn't apply, so I don't know where to go from there.
Right.
Like, I had a really honest preacher, like, tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the better alternative. As an alternative to saying, for atheists who might say this, or for atheists who want to have a more genuine conversation with someone, instead of saying, that doesn't answer my question, say instead, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Ask for clarity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that. Clarification question. Huh. Because all it does is going to make the person, instead of repeating the exact same thing over again, is make them try to understand what they've just said to you and explain it using more terms and with more clear, like, diction towards getting a better understanding of what they mean as they express it to you. And that gives you more material to work with if you're a street epistemologist. It also allows you to have a chance to understand what their position is a little bit better. And sometimes you might generally just appreciate hearing someone express themselves more than just what the party line is. So if someone says, like, hey, what are you, a Democrat or Republican? It's like, I'm not either of those parties. Like, that doesn't answer my question. Instead of saying that, you're just like, what do you mean by that? It's like, I'm like a green libertarian, blah, blah, blah. I believe that blah, blah, blah should be this and blah, blah, blah should be that. Sometimes I'm independent on some other things too, but like, I really just care about X, Y, Z. Like, hey, that gives you so much more material to ask questions about and to carry the conversation forward rather than saying, hey, you failed at answering my flowchart question.
Right.
Try again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's labels can be very useful for saving time, but they're also pigeonholes, which people have defined the pigeonhole separately and differently. Like, if I say I'm an atheist, I know what that means, and my fellow atheists know what it means. It means that I hold a particular position on a particular question. That's all. That's it. Now, if I tell a believer that I'm an atheist, you know, they may go down this mental path, you know, that I've got to be a baby-eating, sinful, no morals, you know, all that kind of stuff. But labels can help a lot if, you know, in keeping you from, you know, explaining yourself for 3 hours. But at the same time, they can also be very misleading and send you in the wrong direction.
Exactly. I think the words that we use
And the order that we use them are incredibly important, particularly if we're dealing with things that are really, really sensitive to the person that we're talking with, because it's so easy to trigger them. And when I say trigger, I don't mean like, well, maybe I do. Trigger is in like shut down the higher faculty thinking and just see this person is against me. I don't want to pay attention to what he's telling me. And so a lot of the times in my head, after I have a conversation, I'm thinking about like, what could I have said better to get my point across better so that we could have had a more open conversation? Because even when I'm saying words like atheist or like God or belief or, you know, what if you're wrong? Like, I hate saying that. So I try to find different ways of going around that. But like, the wordsmith behind a good question is so interesting. And the messenger group that I started called the SE League is all about just trying to like critically feedback with each other about how to ask these people. Yeah, the chatty group that talks about how to do street epistemology all the time. What's really cool is because there's always going to be a better way to talk to someone, and the way you talk to someone is different from how you talk to someone else. So it just opens up this really interesting field of how can you ask really good questions to get through to people, let them be open-minded, and help them to critically assess how they come to the beliefs. Have you ever said something where you were like, you could see in your eyes, in the person's eyes, that they didn't like how I phrased this question, and they're no longer even paying attention to anything else that I'm saying.
Yeah,
have you ever had
that
moment
put up a fence, a mental fence between you, blinders, or they totally lost interest in it because it's like they're projecting where you're going to go with the conversation.
Yeah.
Don't want to go there.
Right. It's like they can sense the flowchart themselves, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
I found that a lot of people do that. It's not that it's a bad thing. There's definitely people who, like, so for example, let me see. I'm trying to bring up an example that I see. But it's a very human thing for people to want to try to get answers to the questions that they have, even if they come from other people. And they may take a more direct path than others. And as a result of taking the most direct path, they might take shortcuts around people's feelings or empathy or logic. And when you do that, you leave them behind, or you give them opportunities to just bail on your route of reasoning. So it's really important to, if you're having these kinds of conversations with people and you're trying to generally understand where they're coming from, to practice being forthright in the question that you're asking. And I found that a good way of doing that, for example, is to phrase your questions, particularly if it's on a sensitive topic, as requests instead of as like an examiner or an interviewer or something like that.
Can you give us an example?
Oh, I got lots of them. We don't even have enough time.
Boy, I led into your narrative, didn't I?
So say, for example, if someone was like, I believe in God because of Jesus, right? Like, instead of being like, hey, that doesn't answer my question.
I believe. What was the question?
If someone said, hey, I believe in God because of Jesus.
Yeah,
because Jesus came on earth, and I just believe in Jesus and one true God. That whole party line.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, hey, that doesn't answer my question. That shuts down the conversation. You don't want to say that. Or, as an alternative, you could say, what do you mean by that? But if you do that, you're likely to get more preaching, right? You're going to probably open up the door to a suite of scripture about the Bible. And you don't want to sit through that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I found was, what I really care about is the method that someone uses to arrive at their conclusion, and that's called the epistemology. So I ask my questions I target my questions not towards the conclusion, which is his belief in Jesus or the person himself, but at the epistemology, and I phrase it as a request. So instead I'd be like, hey, I'm a little confused by this. Could you explain to me what you mean by could you explain to me how Jesus can support a God belief? Like, what is it about this that makes that true?
Well,
like, if you phrase them in the sense of, hey, I'm confused, I'd like for you to explain this to me, more people are a lot more willing to do that without the preaching behind it,
mm-hmm.
than if it was, hey, I don't believe in Jesus.
Well, what it all comes down to, but it comes down to the belief in the Bible. I mean, the epistemology in this particular instance is the reliance on the truth of the Bible. Now, do you ever get to the point where you ask them how they come to a belief in the Bible as being true? I mean, the epistemology of them putting that kind of truth claim behind the Bible would be fascinating in a conversation.
There's typically a layer underneath Bible and its faith, and when you hit faith, then you can ask them, hey, like, if you didn't have the Bible, would you still believe in God? Most of the time, people would even say, like, well, I wouldn't know how, but I'd still have this feeling in my heart, so I'd still come to believe that, yeah, it was true. I was like, so then this must be the Bible. What really is getting there? Like, well, you just have to have faith that it's true. It's like, oh.
Well, yeah, but their faith is built on the Bible. I mean, it's... I don't feel that that's a valid question, because, you know, you're taking the Bible out of them after out of the question after they've been raised on the Bible, you know, spent their entire life reading the Bible, being told about it, and, you know, living with the stories and the personalities in the Bible. And then you say, if it weren't for the Bible, they have no reference to be able to pull that out and then answer your question. I don't see how they could do that.
Yeah,
I'm speaking as an ex-Christian.
Oh, definitely. And there's a lot of different kinds of ex-Christians, but I'd say most people aren't even very aware of the Bible, or what's even the books in the Bible. In fact, I've gone to Christmas parties where a kid has gotten a copy of the Bible and was flipping through it, and he's like, there's so much other stuff than the red stuff. Or something like, he thought that the whole Bible was nothing but just the red text. Or something like that. And he was surprised that there was a whole other book inside of there other than what Jesus said.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, where's Jesus start? He's like, what is the first couple of chapters? Like, that's why I went into the second one. I was like, oh, okay. So there are people who, like, just have the Bible and as an item say, hey, this is really important to me. But have they actually read it? And have they read it critically? No. What's keeping them dedicated to that Bible is faith. Tends to be the case. And there's definitely people who definitely, as you said, only care about the Bible. But whatever the foundation is, you can use your street epistemology questions, phrase your questions as requests, be, you know, polite and get down to that foundational level and then kick it up a gear and start asking, is that a reliable way to come to a true conclusion? Is the Bible a reliable way to a true conclusion? Do people have different Bibles? Do different Bibles say different things? How can we test to see which one of them is true? And if they do say different things, what does that say about the Bible as a reliable method of coming to a
Well, the fact that every single Bible out there has a version number on it, speaks to some kind of discrepancies in there. And the fact that the King James Bible didn't come around for, what, 1,000 years after the death of Jesus and left out many, many books that should or could have been in it. And, you know, it just makes you wonder how they can give it any kind of substance at all, especially when you take the matter of miracles.
No, don't get into miracles, Larry. I'm saying, don't you think if you would ask someone, like if you would ask 100 people, why do you believe in the Bible, you wouldn't get faith as the main response? Like, people don't believe in the Bible because of the Bible, they believe in the Bible because of faith. Tends to be the case. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but you gotta... Faith is in the Bible. The Bible itself tells you that you got to have faith. And if you get that back and forth, you know, you got to have the faith because of the Bible. You got to have the Bible because of faith. You know, where does it start? You know, you've got a loop going on there, and then you're taking that's going to take out a segment of the loop, and you know, and tell you what's left, and they really don't know what to do. I mean, how to be honest about it.
Huh? We both know it's circular. So there's probably going to be different people at different parts of the league.
Right.
I would be really interested in meeting Larry the Christian and seeing if we had sat down on the table.
Well, I could do that, I guess, but I'd have to have you burn the tape afterwards.
If we went back in time and I met Larry the Christian and we had a conversation, would we really find out that the Bible, like, was the actual foundation? Like, you have all these stories that of people that you've never met. You have these tales of incredible things that you've never seen in real life before. You have to take that as truth to an extent, but you don't have any reasonable evidence to support it other than faith, which is instructed in the Bible to tell you. So I can definitely say that circular. But it seems like even lacking the stories, the sensation of, well, I believe what my pastor tells me because I take that on faith.
That's where a lot of them get it, since they don't read the Bible, but they hear the stories, and they only hear the stories that the pastor wants to give them, and leaves out hundreds of stories that are not ready for prime time, as it were.
it's a thing. But it is an interesting thing. I think faith has been generally the most faith. So it hasn't necessarily been faith. It's been upbringing. People have said, "Hey, it's my upbringing,"
sure.
or "It's my personal experience."
Yeah, when they're obvious, when they're honest. I mean, they'll say it's their upbringing. I've asked, you know, if people ask me why I'm an atheist, and usually my first response is, "Why are you a Christian?" And they say, you know, I was born into it. Now, that's the honest, you know, answer. My parents gave me my religion.
Right.
But, you know, then they'll come back and say, okay, fess up, why are you an atheist? Because I found there's no substance to the stories in the Bible. They're not trustworthy. They're not, they don't hold water when you compare them to the sciences of like geology and anthropology and astronomy, you know, the age of the earth and the actions of Genesis, you know, that kind of thing. There's no flood,
yeah.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
I'm wondering if we could even wordsmith that, because I'm considering saying, like, why are you an atheist? Like, I think that's the default position when you don't know, when you don't have enough information to believe that a God exists. Like, I think saying that might be the better... that could be an effective way for some people mm-hmm. to like even understand
yeah,
what atheism
yeah.
is.
Well, sure, yeah, but we're going away from, you know, the biblical God to just a God exists. You know, you move from the Christian God to a generic God or a deistic God.
Because I feel like Christianity wants to put itself up on a pedestal where they don't recognize
right.
any other religion.
Right.
But I think the power of what saying you're an atheist is, I don't believe in any of those gods. It's not just for you,
right.
Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about everybody, and you're mm-hmm. all in the same boat, for, as far as I'm regarded.
Mm-hmm.
And that knocks Christianity down to like the same level as everybody else.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially in Western society, atheism is seen as an anti-Christian position.
Mm-hmm.
But that only benefits Christianity, because now they have an enemy. They can say, oh, well, these guys
right.
don't believe in us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we don't believe in any of those people saying those claims. And that's why I'm saying atheism is a default position if I don't have enough information to believe in a God. I think there's a better tone that I could use to say that, but that's the angle that I think I'm wordsmithing my way towards, and I'll keep working on it. But
okay. Can you put it into a synopsis? Can you put it into a sentence?
Yeah, like, I think atheism is a default position. Like, you start off not believing, and then you're ultimately convinced that something's true,
right.
and I realize that the reason I was
yeah.
convinced isn't reliable, so
right.
I'm back to the default.
Right.
I'm back to where you were before you were convinced that a God existed.
Yeah, there's a common saying in atheist circles, you know, we're all born atheists, because a baby does not have a concept of a God. And, of course, Christians, I'm surprised, but they'll come right back to you and say, yeah, even babies know about God, and with absolutely no evidence or basis for what they're talking about. You know, I mean, you could point out that, you know, when you had a baby, when you had a child, when they were about two or three years old, didn't you have to explain to them what God was?
Sure. Oh, I've never had that. Oh, that's true. That's totally true. Also, if you have, like, an Indian baby born in America, they might believe in Jesus. But if you take that same baby and raise them in Arkadesh, they'll be Hindu.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it's influenced by their environments, why we have Christian babies in very specific regions in America and
right.
Indian babies in other regions.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say this. We're at the top of the hour.
we could go on and on.
We usually do. But take 30 seconds, and what's the last thought you want to give us before we go?
30 seconds? I'm going to go to Sunday December. I'm going to have a good time. Also, I'm talking to ManaCon in Nashville. That was mentioned in the talk, and I'm be a happy talker. Also, I will be happily to talk at Knoxville if we can set up a time for that. All right.
You're talking about at the Rationalists of East Tennessee?
Or at the Sunday Assembly or whatever. She said.
Yeah.
I don't think,
wherever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. And this is Dollar Five saying, don't worry about hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when you find out that hell is real, heaven's real, and souls are real, which have never been demonstrated to be real. So don't worry about it. We'll see you next week, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and every week at 7 o'clock p.m. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we'll see you next week.
Let it go.
listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.